Lord, would you help us as we open the Word of God today? Thank you for your presence. I'm just going to say this at the end of this prayer. Here's what I think. Here's what I think is happening. There's a river of the presence of God. And he wants to run through the church. And the wonderful thing about the river of God is that it overcomes its boundaries all the time and washes over people and does cool things. And so we're looking for a renewal in the church so there can be a revival in the culture. Well, what's that mean? That means people like you and me that are in the church need to get new again. That's what renewal is, right? And some of you at your age really need to be renewed again. I'm kind of kidding. Yeah, I am. But to have something new, to have a covenantal moment like we just had, to where life-changing love gets a hold of our hearts. It happened to me. I mean, I didn't used to do this. And nobody would have permitted me to. And so, Lord, we're open, even this day, to have that life-changing love get a hold of us in a fresh way. And may I say this, that we get a hold of your life-changing love in a different way. It's not all on you. We want to embrace who you are and what you're doing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like I always say, we could go home, but 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's kind of a funny title today that I put on this, that if you have an outline, I put groan, G-R-O-W-N, groan, G-R-O-A-N, and then go home. You'll get it. Well, you might not get it, but I'll try to give it to you as we do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, this is the Amplified Version. Yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, I have believed, and therefore I have spoken. We too believe, and therefore we speak. So Paul's talking about the psalmist saying, he believed and he spoke. And that's exactly what Wes was saying just at the end there. You know, when you have an encounter with the Lord, when you have get touched by God, you are open for testimony. Something happened to me. Word of God came alive to me. You know, the Lord spoke to me. He touched me. I had a dream. I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And so long time ago, like when I was in St. Joe, a long time ago, I preached a sermon from this verse, only this verse. And I redid it and said, talking about the Bible, talking about David, talking about the psalmists, because he didn't write all of them, talking about Paul and John, because they spoke, we can speak. And so we did it, turned it and did it this way. Because they have spoken, we can boldly speak. Isn't that good? That's all I had. But see, the idea is we read what happened. We read what they say. The Holy Spirit quickens something like that in us, to us. And because it came from the Scriptures, because they spoke it, under the anointing of the Spirit of God. They said it, so we know it's true because it's in the book and we can boldly say it. And so when we have encounter with the Lord, it creates testimony, but it doesn't mean we have to have an encounter that nobody's ever had. You can read Romans 8 or something and poof, it pops out of you. I'm not in the flesh anymore. I'm in the Spirit. I didn't know that. I don't live like that. I don't feel that, but it's the truth. And then you can say, Jeff, did you know that we're not in the flesh anymore? We're in the Spirit? How about we help each other live like that? That's testimony. Because we believe what they said, it gives us confidence to boldly say, and this is what it means to me. And this is how it affected me. Does that help you, anybody? Because you'll say, oh, I have to give testimony. Well, I have to have, you know, be walking down the street and lightning strikes or, you know. No, that's not. If that does happen and you live through it, we'd love to hear about it. But what I'm saying is the encounter you can have is simply hearing from heaven in your heart and grabbing what it means. And have it mean something new to you that affects you. Man, that's testimony, isn't it? And so I did this yesterday, praying over someone, and I happened to say, it just fit. I happened to say, you know, I can remember the first Alpha course we did and the early ones, and we were in our sanctuary and had a big screen TV up here, and you know, on a VHS, ask your parents. And Nicky Gumbel was giving, it was about the cross, is what he was talking about. And he kind of gave an invitation at the end. And I walked up, this was in the other church, walked up, shut the player off. And when I turned around, someone was coming down the aisle. And I looked at him and I said, Linda, are you okay? And she trembling and crying. And I thought, oh no, how am I gonna fix this? And she said, never forget it. She said, I always knew that Jesus died, but I never knew he died for me. Wow. I mean, like, wow. So I'm saying that today because somebody might have the same experience. But she got, I mean, I led her to the Lord right there. I never let her get to the, right there. It was amazing. And then, of course, everybody else was like, because we had an Alpha course. There was a number of the people, you know, it wasn't the very first one, but it was early. We had two or three other people came to the Lord that night because, well, he died for me. Well, see, she believed what he said, and it caused a testimony in her, which led to her salvation. Isn't that cool? So what I'm saying, things like that can happen to us, and they give us a new song. They give us something new to say. We've had a new encounter with the love of God. Now, I'm only saying that because, see, when individuals get touched like that, that's kind of like renewal, isn't it? Now, it was salvation for her, which was brand new. But when we have something like that, that's one of the things that happens. You know, when I can remember, I got saved at the tail end of what was called the Jesus movement. And that was where, you know, seven people got together and somebody sneezed and two people got saved. I mean, it was just, I'm joking, but it was real easy for people to come to the Lord. I mean, it was just, the atmosphere is that way. I mean, you go to an airport or something like that and people were talking about the Lord. Not always correctly, but, you know. And why? Because something had happened in them that they couldn't keep quiet about. Now, you don't have to get a loudspeaker and, you know, do all that kind of crazy stuff, but the Lord will give you opportunity to say it. That's all. And what does that do? That helps us grow up. Because one of the things about renewal, revival, is that He's wanting us to be grown, so we're like adults, you know? And the Bible calls it mothers and fathers in Jerusalem. Because when lots of new people come to the Lord, you need people who have experience in God to help them. They're born again, so we gotta have parents taking care of the new babies. And that might be, I'm, you know, 60 years old and I'm not a baby. Yeah, you are. If you just got saved, you just got born again, there's all sorts of stuff you don't know. I'll never forget, and I forget a lot of stuff now, but I'll never forget, it was in this building and had a very intelligent attorney that came to the Lord and he said, I'm not getting this. And I just looked at him and I said, well, man, all your life, You've had to see it in order to believe it. And that's not how it works. You know, you start believing it and you'll start to see it. And he just looked at me. He says, "That's backwards, isn't it?" And I said, "Not in the kingdom." And that guy took off like a rocket. I mean, he really did. He's still walking with the Lord. It's very cool. We too believe, and therefore we speak. He has spoken, so we can boldly say. Assured that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up. Now that's pretty good. You got to get that. Paul says, Jesus raised from the dead, and he's going to raise me. And he said, you need to be assured of that. You know, if you're not assured of that, you're not going to speak up. You got to be assured that what he said he did, he did. Right. And he did for you. So assured, it's a good word, that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up also and bring us along into his presence. He's talking about when he comes back. For all these things are taking place for your sake, so that the more grace, divine favor, and spiritual blessing extends to more people. Now see, that's revival, isn't it? More grace being extended to more people. And he doesn't say, well, we got to get, you know, they've got to understand the Trinity. And no, he says, they've got to get touched by the grace of God. Because see, the grace of God says, I did so you can. Hello? That's pretty much as I did so I can. Not only that, I'm going to live in you and I'll help you do it. Right? Because he'll work in you to give you the desire and the power to do the things you're supposed to do. And he says, what we're really wanting to do is have a flood of grace that touches everybody. And so how does that happen? More of us get touched, the more of us talk, pray, reach out, live saved where we are. And when we live saved where we are, there's a boatload of people where we live that aren't saved. Right? I mean, we don't have to go hunt up people that don't believe. Right? We're looking today, Kansas City has a couple of million people in the media area, right? 17% of people go to the church. You do the math. There are millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people who don't know the Lord, or who maybe spend a little while in the church but never came into relationship with the Lord. They don't know what that covenant love is like. They don't know what life-changing love is about. They think the church is for some holidays and then they ask you for money. By the way, give your money, right? Seriously, that would be very good. But that's what they think about church. They don't know the Lord. Yeah. See, we have to talk about things that are God things. So I believe he's wanting to move and touch us and give us new things to say. Now, it's not wrong to say the old ones. Right. And that, because when you're quoting the scriptures, some of that stuff happened thousands of years ago. But there's life in it, power in it. I should keep going. All the more grace extending to all the more people. Therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear. Wow, what a statement. It's the Amplified. It takes a little longer to read. It says, we don't become discouraged. And then it explains what discouraged is. Utterly spiritless. Huh? We could spend a couple days on that. Utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear. How does fear work? He hasn't done what he said he was going to do yet, so he's probably not going to do it. And there, if you can get that fear in you, then you're not going to boldly say anything. You might be quiet and not say what you really think, because what you really think isn't in keeping with what he said, right? Now that's hard because the whole New Testament is based on one thing. Jesus conquered death. That's it. If he didn't rise from the grave, then we're just crazy. You know, I mean, and before I was a Christian, did I think believing in somebody being raised from the dead was crazy? Darn straight. I was a logician. I was into logic and reason, and there was no reason for anybody to believe that somebody raised from the dead. But that's how life-changing love works. And I didn't know it, and I didn't believe it, but man, I experienced it. He just turned me inside out, you know, because he works from the inside. He changed the inside. I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it. Every once in a while, my wife said, "That really happened, didn't it?" And I said, "Yeah." That's how I can stand here. The reality is we have to be able to know that's true, assured that it's true, so we don't get discouraged. Because what's discouraged? Well, here, how can I do that? I'm sorry, Jeff. You're sitting here, and you're a Steelers fan, so anyway.
Don't be discouraged.
I am not.
He won't be until the result of the game is in. I'm just kidding. I don't even know who they play this week. So. Oh, well, yeah. See, what's discouraged? I come to Jeff, I rip open his chest, I grab all his courage, and I throw it down on the ground, and I stomp on it. That's discouraged. That's discouraged. What does the enemy do? Exactly what I just said. You can have some of that belief if you want to, but I'm telling you what, you're going to pay for this. And you're going to get discouraged, which means anything that courage would have had me do in the name of the Lord ain't going to happen. That's really bad English, but that's really good theology. And so, why would the enemy do that? Because he hates the Lord. And now that we're in his family, he hates us. Well, we're not doing anything. He'd like to keep it that way. Huh? So, what's that mean? It means you have a destiny and you have an enemy. And that better be very real to you, because I'm going to make sure the enemy is very real to you. How am I doing? Doesn't that make you want to believe? But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Right? But do you understand when I say discourage, what I'm trying to get at? Tears your courage down, so you'd be a stupid fool to believe that this or this or this is going to happen. Right? And like John Wimber would say, "I'm God's fool. Whose fool are you?" Now, that's a graphic kind of description, but haven't you ever felt that way? Where, well, if God ever did come by, he probably would pass me by anyway, because I haven't done this and I haven't done this. Well, we all could say that. Yes, and the enemy would like for us to believe that God's going to pass us by too. One of the things that helped me the most, I heard the Lord say some things to me about a revival. And the last part of it was, "And I'm not going to leave you out." Amen. Fact is, he said, there's a passage of scripture, I won't go to it because it'd take me longer. He said this, "And you will see it with your own eyes." That's these peepers right here. And we'll see it with our own eyes. Well, that means it's coming.
Yes.
Something's coming. Well, you've been saying that for 40 years. If I'm here for 40 more, I'll keep saying it. Something is coming to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because if there is going to be a incoming harvest, the church has got to be alive at a level the church isn't alive at. Which means Christians have to be alive at a level Christians aren't alive at. How am I doing? And so, what does that mean? I don't know. I don't really know. Well, I mean, a lot of the big guys are saying he's going to do something he's never done. Well, then how are you going to know what it is? By experiencing it. And so, I mean, the things I've had happen. I didn't know they were coming. I had no idea he was going to do that. I didn't have it all figured out, and he did. Right? So you're foolish to believe that. No, 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 no. You're foolish not to. Well, you can't prove it. Really? Tell me how your car works when you start it. Well, there's a computer. Yeah. Yeah, right? Well, I'm going to quit driving cars then because I don't know how it works. Now, that's stupid, isn't it? Do I know how the Lord's going to do all the things he's going to do? Uh-uh. But you know what? I'm pushing the start button every day. Now, I'm preaching to you now. Push the start button every day. Well, what if everything doesn't happen? Push it again the next day. That's called pray and believe. Pray and believe. We're foolish not to pray and believe. Well, if you're going to pray and believe, then you're probably also going to say. Now, don't be dumb, but you can say, here's what I believe. And I believe I shouldn't stand that close to the speaker. I am led, you know. Push that button, turn that key. There are a time is going to come where, oh my God, there's a Hemi in this thing, and I didn't know it. A Hemi is a 426. You know, right, you know, okay. I won't go into that, you know. Hemispherical combustion chamber, you know. But it just means zoom. You know, and if you've got a four-cylinder in your Mazda, and you get it up in the next day, and you've got a 426 Hemi in it, I guarantee you, you'll know the difference. And so will everybody that you pass. are we getting it? Gosh, oh my gosh. What do I leave out? I think I included too many things. Verse 17. For our light, momentary affliction, this slight distress of the passing hour, is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure and excessively surpassing all comparisons and calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness that never ceases. Wow. Now he's saying this light affliction. He was beaten. He was stoned to death. He was shipwrecked. He got bit by a snake. He was incarcerated a number of times and had a reputation of, they hated him. And he says, well, these light afflictions, are you kidding me? But he says, see, I see what's behind the afflictions. And there's this incredible, immeasurable, indescribable weight of glory that nobody can take away. And it's mine. He was able to fix his eyes on the unseen. And that gave him power and faith to get through the scene. Huh? So what's going on in your scene? That's the S-C-E-N-E. What's going on in your scene? Is there a capacity for you to translate what's happening to you into, Lord's doing something. The Lord's doing something. You know, a dog doesn't bark at a parked car. Lord's doing something. Well, how do you know? See, I've had people say, oh, you've been sick, you know, I've been sick, and you're having trouble. You know, that Lord's not helping you. I said, no, Lord's kept me alive. He has, and I hate this. I know this is true, and I hate it. He has entrusted me with trouble. He entrusts us with trouble. Why? Well, because in this world, you'll have trouble. But he wants to do some stuff in us. Because he, you know what? It's a fallen world. There's trouble out there. And you're going to run right smack dab into it. So he will entrust you with it so that it helps form you. Whereas trouble will just deform you. Right? But he will inform you, form you on the interior so that you're different in here, which causes you to be able to respond differently out here. Well, I'll go asking for trouble then. Don't do that. You don't need to do that. There's enough out there. Paul just went around being an apostle. And he was like a ping pong ball. We'll knock you over here, we'll knock you over here. I mean, he really had a lot of trouble. And apparently, from everything we can tell, he wasn't probably any bigger than I am. And he got beaten and stoned and thrown in jail and all that kind of stuff. And how did he come out? And he said, oh, I forget everything that's behind. I'm locked in on the upward call. I'm locked in. I need to be locked in a lot faster. For our light momentary affliction is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory that's beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and calculations of vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. Wow. That's why. So he says, since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are unseen are lasting forever, invisible, deathless, and everlasting. Deathless. Isn't that cool? Well, how do you look at stuff that you can't see? He said, I want you to look on the things that aren't visible. That's what unseen things are. Well, what are unseen things? Oh, like that $1 million. So far for me, that's unseen. That's not at all what he's talking about. He's talking about these things like Paul was looking at. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I can't touch it. I can't feel it. I can't smell it. But I know it's real. Hebrews 11:7. Prompted by faith, Noah, being forewarned by God concerning events of which as yet there was no visible sign, built an ark. Constructed and prepared an ark for the deliverance of his own family. By this faith, which relied on God, he passed judgment and sentence on the world's unbelief and became an heir and possessor of righteousness, that relation of being right into which God puts the person who has faith. That relationship of being right that God puts you in when you have faith. When you say yes to him. So we get Jesus' righteousness because we said yes to him. Here's Noah, way back, man, way back. And he said, build an ark, never seen one. Why? Because it's going to rain. Never seen it. But there's going to be a flood. Have no idea what you're talking about. Sand doesn't flood. He said, well, I want you to build this boat. He'd never seen a boat. Maybe that's why it looked like it looked. I don't know. But if you think about that, I want you to build this thing that you've never seen because this event, which you've never seen, is going to happen, and it's going to cause another event that's never taken place. Oh, by the way, and it's going to take you 100 years or so. Fortunately, there was a flood and all the Noah jokes died with it. I've been waiting all week to say that. But it's true. You know, no, duh. No, it's no, no, duh. You're, you know, just that one didn't, it survived. I'm trying to quit. I really am. So I have a birthday thing I have to go do. I really do need to quit. But he saw, not seeing. Hebrews 11:24. Aroused by faith, Moses, when he had grown to maturity and became great, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, because he preferred to share the oppression and the hardships and bear the shame of the people of God rather than have the fleeting enjoyment of a sinful life. He could see the enjoyment of the sinful life, but he said, no, I'm choosing what you said. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm choosing what you said. Philippians 3:20-21. But we are citizens of heaven, the homeland of heaven. And from it also we earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and Messiah. From it, from heaven, we wait, it says. Well, we are there, seated at the right hand, right? But, so, do you see that? Uh-oh. I can't see that. Do I believe that? Yes, ma'am. But I can't see it. Well, why do you believe it then? Because they said it. He said it, and I believe it. Why? Because that's how it works. My heart says yes. My heart never said yes before. Once I got saved, my heart said yes once. It wasn't so hard to start saying yes again. Right? Yeah. And so you get your heart trained to say yes, and it'll work. You will grow. I mean, it will happen. That's because that's how it happens. 2 Corinthians 5. For we know the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down. And some of us are experiencing that. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house, we groan. G-R-O-A-N. Some of you did that trying to put your shoes on this morning. Or get out of bed. Or climb into the car. Or carry that heavy black bag that this idiot carries. And see, groaning is an understanding of this isn't eternal. And it doesn't work like maybe it did. I had somebody tell me not long ago, man, I hit 30 and it's really hard. I thought. So I said, 30 what? 30? Says, it's hard to lose weight. I said, really? 30. I thought, come on, man. There's still people playing football at 30, you know? I mean, right? I thought, oh, yeah. But he was already experiencing it doesn't work like it did when I was 18. Well, no kidding. Go get in a car that's 30 years old and see if it works as good as, you know what I mean? Why? Why? Because, you know, God's our creator, but Mom and Dad were involved in this. So there's a sense in which this humanity is man-made. And, you know, things don't last as long, right? Anybody buy a cell phone 15 years ago? And if you're 80, you might still be using it, but people, why? They go defunct. They don't work anymore, or they quit making the software for them, so you can't use it anymore. Why they don't work. Gosh, I shouldn't tell this story, but I'm going to tell this story. I was at the drugstore, pharmacy. I'm not going to say which one. Oh, it's CVS. That's where I go. I mean, it's going to be that or Walgreens, right? So, and I'm standing here, and there's a person in front of me, and they get called up to get their whatever. And so there's this guy who was standing in front of me, and I mean, I looked at him, and I thought, that poor old guy. See, he was even older than me. And he goes over there and starts talking to this young man. And I've talked to that young man before. Sweet guy, help you do anything. He's not from the United States, and his English isn't as good as a person should be who's talking about prescriptions and things you can't pronounce if you know English well. So he's trying to talk this older man about getting a flu shot. And he said, oh, you want to get a flu? I'm afraid, got to be careful because I'll try to do the accent. I don't want to do that. But he said, flu shot. Yeah, we got it. We're behind 2 or 3 days, so you would have to wait. And he said, okay, I'm good. And he said, what do I need to do? And he said, well, you need to go online and do. And he said, so you're telling me I need a computer? And he said, yes. It's, I don't have one. He says, well, then you could use a smartphone. He said, I don't have one. I thought, this is going to get interesting. So he said, well, now tell me again what I need to do. And he said, go to the library and they'll and tell the person and they'll do the do for you. And you know, and he said, they tore down the library. And I didn't have the heart to tell him, dude, if you just walk out the door and make a left, it's right there. Because it's Green Hills and Berry Road and they just built a new library. Just opened it. But as far as he's concerned, they tore his library down. And he said, no, sir, have to get computer. And the guy takes a step back and he said, I need to summarize our conversation. And I'm going, this is going to be rich. And he said, this is CBS. Yes, sir. And you're telling me that I need to register and sign up to get my flu shot, and you're 2 or 3 days behind. Yes, sir. So what I need to do is to get on a computer and get on CBS's site and do this registration. He goes, that's exactly right. Is there anything else? He said, yes. I'm in CBS. I'm talking to you. You're using a computer. My name is. And I thought, go, dude. And the guy said, I can't do it. Why not? He says, it has to be you. And then he said, then I'll just come around. And he had a ball cap on. He picked up his ball cap and he said, I've enjoyed our conversation. And I think he went to Walgreens. But I thought, oh my, you know, it's like things have changed so much. And he was not up with how it changes. And we have to be people that get changed on the inside so we can reach people who are in the generation in which we live. And I thought, oh, I wanted to tell that guy, well, I got a phone here, we could do it. And I thought, I'll be late. So I didn't do it, but I thought, isn't that interesting? He was out. And we're going to talk to some people who think they're out and they don't have a way to get in. And so, smartphone. No, we have to have a smartphone. We have to be able to say, oh, I can help you. I've got an inside track on this. I can help you. And I wanted to go up and kind of pray for the guy or something, but then they called me up, you know, and I thought, oh, what a picture of our culture. Yeah, I just was... Anyway, I'm going to quit her in just a second, but I got a point to get to. For we know that this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down. If it is, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So we have a house. How many of you grew up in a church or had grandparents who sang that song about mansion in glory? Yeah, I heard it a couple times. I didn't ever sing it. And I don't want to mess with your theology or anything, but the theology in that song is not so good. Do we have a mansion? We have something that God has prepared for us. And it would beat the heck out of any mansion. So don't minimize yourself by thinking you have a mansion. It's a place that God has made eternally in the heavens for us. I think that's awesome. For indeed, while we were in this tent, we groaned. There's that groan thing again. And so, you know what? It's not unnatural to groan in your humanity. Fact is, the later you stay, the longer the groaning probably is. But we don't just live in our physical bodies. We have another life. For indeed, while we were in this tent, we groaned, being burdened, because we don't want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Man, I love that. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, and he gave us the Holy Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage. Just stop on that for a minute. Who are you? Well, I'm always of good courage. That the enemy hasn't pulled out of my heart yet. He says, always be of good courage. What's that mean? You never let the enemy get you to the point of discouragement. What's that mean? It means hope is to always be alive. Always be alive. Well, but we're in a hopeless situation. But that doesn't make you hopeless. It makes your situation hopeless. That's different than you being hopeless. Now, you can feel hopeless sometimes. Why? Because I don't feel connected with the hope that I know I have. But I know I have it. That's the reality. Therefore, being always of good courage. Come on now. If the people in the United States ran into people who were always of good courage, they'd faint. Always be of good courage, knowing that while we were at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. There's a sense in which our home is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, and one of the reasons we groan physically is because this body is wanting to get out of this body and get swallowed up by life and have the kind of body we're going to have when we're in heaven. Yeah. Right? No shingles in heaven. Amen. So I'm going to stop here because it would take too long, but I'm going to say what I wanted to say. Are there mansions for us in heaven? Well, when you get to your place and I get to my place, come over to my place and we'll check it out. Now get me on this. There may be mansions in heaven, but there aren't any mortuaries in heaven. Amen. Come on. No hospitals. Right. No graveyards. No mortuaries. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? That means there's plenty that's unseen to fix your gaze upon. But I can't see it. You don't have to. This thing is by faith, not by sight. Well, that frustrates me. Me too. I want to see it, touch it, feel it. I do. But what I really want is to receive it the way he wants me to receive it. Now, here's the thing. I'm absolutely convinced that the more we're capable of fixing our gaze on him, fixing our gaze on that which is unseen, the more we will pray the unseen into the seen. The more we recognize that our home is in heaven and a day is coming when we're going to get swallowed up by life. What does that mean? That means there's too much life for me to be here. I got to be there. Come on. Get swallowed up by life and have whatever new kind of body life swallows you up to get. Wow. But until then, we want to pray all the life-swallowing power we can pray down so more people get swallowed up by that life. Amen. That's all invisible. Heaven, we don't see it. Can't see it. You look up and say, well, that's a bird. It's not heaven. But Jesus is on the throne and we're with him. Last thing I'm going to tell you is it says, this thing we're groaning, getting older a little bit. People ask me, what do you think about getting old? I said, I skipped it. I'm just going to age. best example I can come up with. But he says, though this thing is wearing out, now listen to me, he says, inwardly, your inner man is being renewed every day. Every day. And come on now, look at me. Because I'm going to quit. I know I've said that 15 times, but some of you need to be more optimistic. You are very aware of hitting 30. That's still funny to me. But you're aware that your physical capacities have diminished a little bit. You know, there's that song, you know, looking in the mirror, my face ain't looking any younger, you know. And if some of us go to more effort to keep that from happening, but it still happens. I mean, there's stuff you can use to cosmetically to delay the appearance and all that kind of stuff. And I'm fine. I think look the best you can look. Man, you know, put on whatever you want to put on. I don't care. I mean, I'd rather have people look good than bad, you know? And especially if we're trying to reach people, let's not say, let's be the ugliest people we can be. And there, I won't go into that, but I, you know, and I mean, there was a mentality in people that was the best thing to do is to be so holy that you weren't any part of the world and you look like a scarecrow, you know? I mean, look bad, drab. And boy, doesn't that make people thirst to be a Christian. Wow. I want to look like that. The trouble is I look like that in the morning and I spend hours trying to not look like that. I better shut up. I was going somewhere with this. On the inside. Now get this. It says, we're renewed every day. You know what? We need to be more aware of the truth of that. Huh? Because we are very aware of how this doesn't work or how this doesn't work or how that shirt doesn't fit like it used to or, you know, all that stuff, all that human stuff. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't have time to do anything about but say it. Part of our being renewed every day is because he's in us. But part of our being renewed is because we're in him. Hello? And what do we know about that? Not so much. But I know that has to be true because he says we're being renewed all the time. And I'm not totally aware every day of being, wow, I'm really renewed today. You know, I mean, you know, but he says it's happening. It's progressive, but it's also aggressive because it's happening every day. There is this yearning for the life of God in us to have control so he can touch us with more grace and have more grace going out and touch the masses. You okay? This was actually pretty good. I want you to get this. So, oh, Lord, you say, and this is the process. Lord, you say that you're in me and I'm in you and you're renewing me every day. Would you put me in touch? And may my mind, my will, and my emotions reflect the fact that you're changing me and I don't know it. I don't see it. I'm not sure how to partner with you in this, but would you show me how? Because I want that verse to be experientially true in my life. Experientially true in my life. Now that's strong, isn't it? And so, don't get a bumper sticker that said, I'm being renewed every day. Because somebody will hit you in the rear. But you could put one on your refrigerator as a reminder. The Lord's in me and I'm in him and he's renewing me every day. My inner man is being restored. That's what it says. And if it says it, it has to be true. So, well, I'm not aware of that. Get in line. But it's time, if he's going to renew us, we need to be aware of what he's presently doing. not only hungering and thirsting for what he's about to do. Because I think if we're more aware of what he is doing, that renewal thing will take a jump, right? Don't you want to be around a whole bunch of people who are honestly wanting to experience what the Bible says about what's happening in our lives? Wow. Well, I got saved. Good. Now you're a candidate. Right? Why? Because you're alive with the life of God now. Lord, there's so much more that we could know. I ask that you would cause us to be aware of how much you want us to experience the renewing you're doing invisibly because you work from the inside out. And we want to be changed. We want to be grown, G-R-O-W-N, and let that be way more important than the G-R-O-A-N that we feel every day. You want us to experience you in reality so that we are really changed, so we are really more like you, so people who don't know you don't have a chance. We want to be, if I can say it this way, attractive to other people because of what's real in our character, in our temperament, in our speech, and in the way that we care about people. We want to see our children have safe places to go to church, to go to school, to play outside. We want to see our culture changed in such a way that those realities can be, Kansas City is a place where the Lord is doing something. And he's doing it in Christians, and he's doing it through Christians, and he's doing it in the city. Lord, thank you for helping us today. Thank you for the way you've been with us today. And we bless you, and we love you, and we love the people that are taking care of our children right now. Right. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, go love on the people who took care of our kids. Yeah, thanks. Great. Let's do it.